Hi, it's Britt and Jess, and this is another episode of Basic Banter for Witches.
Every week, we dive into topics that resonate with us on our spiritual journey. Enjoy!
Welcome back! Welcome back! Wow, that's how we're starting. Welcome back to Basic Banter for Witches. We were just laughing because we just figured out our family connection and it threw off my entire words for today. So that's where we're at, guys. I'm so sorry.
But we are very excited. Yeah, it raised our vibration. I don't know if anybody felt that, but I was just like, oh, well, there you go. It was a natural, like, we're trying to calm things out, kind of just like get all the jitters out. And all of a sudden we're like, okay. So I love it. But we'd love to welcome our new friend, Carrie Fetter, with Soulfully Alive. I'm so excited.
You're so happy. We love it. We were just literally chatting with Carrie right before we started our podcast apps that we actually know family. So I would say we're technically related. Let's be honest.
We would be in a very distant way. By marriage.
I am having a good laugh over here. Sorry, Jess?
By marriage, maybe? Well, not married anymore. But no, but there's blood related.
Marriage, yeah. But it would be third, like, fourth cousin type.
Oh, totally. You'd be related directly to our cousin, who's the product of that marriage. Anyways, it's fun.
Product of that marriage. Oh, my God, I love it. It was such a good laugh, and I'm going to do a quick background before we bring Carrie on to tell us her beautiful story. Jessica and I did not grow up in the small town, but we were there all the time because our family is from there. Mm-hmm. So it's Watson, Saskatchewan, Quill Lake area, Englefeld, all that good stuff. And we would go there every summer and Christmas and Easter.
Any holiday break,
To visit our family out there. And one rule when we were old enough is you're not allowed to date anybody in Watson because you might be related to them. So every time we would meet somebody, we would go back to our mom and dad and be like, okay, so like, what about this last name? They're like, well, yeah, that's a cousin because of this and this and this.
Oh,
like,
who's this mom?
No,
who's
one his here.
Dad? Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's how we just, we love it. What a beautiful small world.
Very small world. Exactly. I always say, like, on your way to like Watson, specifically Watson, people are like, where is that? I'm like, oh, have you ever driven past like through Humboldt? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, so if you go through Humboldt, like 20 minutes later, you have to stop. Watson. It's like the Santa Claus, you know, you can't miss it.
Anyways. People know that. But yes. Yeah. So talking about our beautiful Carrie, we'd love to know a little bit about you. If we can, let's start with what you currently do.
Yeah.
And then I want to go into where you started, like what your story is, if that's okay.
For sure. Well, currently, I actually just retired from my, I guess, 9-to-5 regular job that I've had for the past 25 years.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the plan, but we know how those things change, was to take some downtime, just relax, figure my way out. I had some things in my head that I was going to, you know, work on and do. And sure enough, something presented itself to me and I applied, and I thought for sure I had bombed the interview. And then the next day I got the phone call.
Yeah. No way.
What? You want me to start right now? But I have all these other things planned. Okay. So we've worked out arrangements there. So right now I'm part-time teaching at a post-secondary education facility here in Saskatchewan.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. What do you teach? Is it okay if I ask you what you teach specifically?
Mm-hmm. Right now it's a mental health and wellness program.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So really it ties into a lot of some of those things that are unknown in life that we don't see, and changes our perspective in how we engage and interact with individuals. And I think sometimes the more awareness that we have about those things, my incense is kind of just
okay. Oh,
love it. Love it how it's getting wild over there. That's good.
I think sometimes the more that we just can sit and be silent and watch and observe and be that witness to the events that are going on around us, we get a bigger picture of some of those other things that are occurring in life. And it's not just necessarily what's in between those parallel lines. It's what's happening out over here. What kind of other factors are going on? So.
Yeah. You know, I think that's really interesting. And I know just something I always think of is like during a, speaking of, it's my husband, sorry. Thank you, babe. Love you. Usually I'm yelling at him. So on the podcast, I should say. Like when I think about like, you know, again, a good practice for that is like, you know, when you're watching a play or something live or, you know, this is, you know, your focus is supposed to be up here, but there's always background work happening. There's always somebody doing something in the back or a shift being made or an adjustment of sorts that's going to be relevant or has to add, you know, that we need to pay attention to. So I think perspective is so important. I mean, just in that sense of always being aware of not being too focused and hyper-focused without, you know, expanding that vision. Anyways, that's cool.
For sure. No, watching what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In every direction, those eyes in the back of the head, right? Not just the physical sense, but that metaphysical sense too.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you, I guess that's a really good point. Sorry, I'm going to jump ahead here. I did see that you do like intuitive healing. But no, but pretty, like you laugh, but it's like,
I love it because Jessica gets so excited that she's like, just tell me everything about you.
Exactly. But no, I think like, again, when we're like using, you know, again, not using that force or that sight, but being like, okay, well, what do I feel in this moment? You know, how does this make me feel? What am I smelling at this moment? You know, what other sorts of feelings are around there, whether there it's a physical feeling or an inner feeling or a gut feeling, right? So cool. I know Brittany's like, you're wild, just tone it down.
I just laugh. I'm just like, you're scaring our guests. No, just kidding.
I know.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm just loving the energy here. It's like, oh, good. See which way it goes. And if it goes into left field, whatever, it's okay.
Whatever. It's fine. Thank we you. Usually and circle back.
Just like, yeah. It's like really flowing. It's like, okay, here we go.
Oh, God. And away we go. Yeah.
So where did your metaphysical story start?
Oh, if I really think back, it probably started when I was a kid. And as a kid living back in small town Saskatchewan, very close to where you guys are from, nobody knows how to get to because there is no highway that goes through our place. You got to take any.
It's a journey. There is one journey.
I've gotten lost on my way there. True fact. True fact.
True but, story.
You know, that house that has like the really tall, like tree
doesn't
house.
Have a spaceship?
It's like a big, do you know which one? It's like a saucer. I'm like, then I know I'm on the right road and go straight ish, but it's gone. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I know that farm very well. But yeah, so basically when I was about 5 and we lived in just a nice little small house in the very corner of town, nice big garden plot, you know, that obviously we had all of our things growing every year. And my room and my sister's room was in the basement. And I remember always going down into the basement. I was fearful of going past that furnace. And it was an open furnace area because there were times where I would see shadows or something that was lurking there. And as a kid, it was just, it was so ominous. And it was so present that I was like, what is this? And of course I didn't want to tell anybody about it in a small town. You go to church every Sunday and you know, and if you're seeing things like that, well, maybe there just might not be something right with Carrie. So
yeah, they might be really bringing you forward and being like, we're going to bless her, especially.
Exactly.
Right.
Like,
you know, especially 45 plus years ago. So yeah, it was scary at that time. And growing up, you know, I will admit I was one of those little odd ducks. I didn't, you know, there's not a lot of people in town. You try and fit in as much as possible, but I was never really good at knowing how to express myself or just put myself out there. Everything felt forced. Everything felt like a really big effort to engage with people. Mm-hmm. And even today, I still struggle with finding my words or just finding those people. But what I have found is that the ones that I connect with the most are the ones where the information flows that much more easily.
Yeah.
For a large portion of my life, after those types of experiences and kind of feeling like I was just the odd one and there's some really crazy stuff happening over here, I just shut it off. I just said, no, I can't do this. It didn't seem to fit right. Nobody else was talking about this kind of stuff. So you just close those doors and put it off to the side and say, you know what, maybe sometime in the future it'll come back and it'll present itself. And as time went on, you know, you'd hear people talking about different things. You'd be like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. And when was it? It was probably after I had my second son. The house that we were living in, I swear to God, there was something in that place. And that was the first thing that I, as an adult, had that type of an experience. And it was funny, I guess, looking back now at the time, but when it was occurring, I was freaked out and I was scared to go to bed. And my husband was working night shifts, so it was just me and the two kids in the house. My youngest would have been about 3 months old. And I could hear something walking up the stairs from the basement. I could hear the baby gate open. And I'm going, and I know it's not my toddler. And I know it's not my baby.
And you have two babies that you're like, I have to be the adult here.
Exactly. Right? I'm laying in bed and my blankets are pulled up like this. And I'm like, please, no, please. But you can hear footsteps coming. And it's to the point where, and I'm awake. I'm not sleeping. Yeah. Right. I felt like I was awake. And I'm like, did somebody break into my house? What is going on? And lived in a safe neighborhood, but you know, things happen anywhere. And one night, and this would happen frequently for a couple of months. And one night I actually felt the bed depress and you can feel weight on the bed and there's nothing there. And I don't know what got into me, but I told it to F off.
Yeah.
Oh, you can wearing swear freely. You can swear freely if you want to.
We're pro swearing here.
I might let it roll. So just okay.
Let it loose. You're safe here. Yeah.
Okay. And in that moment, whatever this presence was, it came and there was this huge weight on my chest. And then all I could remember was, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I just like apologized to whatever this presence was, whatever this entity was in my house. And I just did whatever I thought was appropriate in that time and that place because I had no experience with this. Yeah. And it just eventually eased off and off it went. So no sleep occurred for the rest of that night. When my husband had come home that morning, I had told him what had happened and he kind of said, well, were you dreaming? I'm like, no, I wasn't fucking dreaming. Yeah. This happened.
Someone's in our room.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, as any typical person who isn't in tune to, I guess, some of the metaphysical aspects of life started looking for ways to rationalize it. Well, you have been a little bit tired lately, baby, blah, 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 like all these other types of excuses. And so then it kind of kept happening, but it wasn't as profound, but whatever it was would keep coming to the bedroom. And I would just say, you know what, please go away. I don't have anything for you here. And then that energy would just kind of go off in that time. And as I've grown, I guess, in my practice and some of the mentors that I've worked with, that's kind of setting your boundary with some of the spirits you may actually be working with, is that you're saying that, no, I'm not ready for this and please leave. However, it never really fully left. My husband had actually ended up talking to a coworker at work because he thought I was going through postpartum and his coworker was very Catholic.
That's so nice and supportive of him. Just be like, yeah, my wife's a little crazy. Seeing demons in the house. You're like,
what? As people who have been dealing with postpartum depression, like since we've had children, we understand. And maybe it's not a great joke to make, but we're like,
I get what the part is about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he had spoke to this gentleman at work, and the gentleman who was like very Christian, and he said, you know what? Tell your wife to say this phrase. And so my husband wrote down the phrase, and the next time it happened, I spoke this phrase and the spirit never came back. After that, it was gone.
That's amazing. So
that kind of got me on this, path of what exactly is going on here. But again, I wasn't quite ready to delve into everything. Personal circumstances changed. My husband and I parted ways, went on, with my career, my kids occupied and just mind focused on a whole bunch of different things. And what would it be now? About 6 or 7 years ago, I planned a trip out to the East Coast of Canada with my kids. And my boys would have been around 9 and 7 at that time. We did a road trip. So we drove out.
Oh my gosh.
From Saskatchewan. That's a nice 30 hour.
No, a little bit more than that. Yeah.
That's like,
so did do it in 3 days. I would never recommend doing that. There were two very long days of about 15, 16 hour days, and one that was around 12. They were troopers. They were awesome. But we got there, and this way we could start exploring. And one of the places we ended up staying with or staying at was at a campground in Nova Scotia, overlooking the bluffs. It's called Ovens Natural Caves, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in a cabin there. We went and we explored the caves. We walked along the ocean, did a couple of things. One of our last nights there, I had another experience. Wow. And this one, it was almost as if I was more in a lucid dreaming state, awake but not awake. Cabin door opens up and right away fear kicks in. I'm, oh my goodness, who walked into this cabin and where are my children so that I know that I'm safe? The bed kind of depressed down again, and I felt that pressure on my chest. And the question that came out of my mouth was, are you nice? And when I approached the spirits in that way, asking, are you nice? Three of them, I don't know how I know this or why, but three of them sat along the wall of the bed. It was a bunk bed. So one of my children was up on the top and one was in bed with me. And we engaged in this conversation throughout the whole night. And that's all I remember. I know that one was a lady, one was a smaller entity, and another one was about a male, early 20s. And whatever it was that we discussed in that night, I have no recollection of, but it brought me so much peace and so much comfort.
Wow.
And from there, it was, I need to figure out what the heck is going on. Yeah. I need to understand why these experiences keep happening. What am I inviting in? And then more specifically, how do I be careful that I invite as well? So when we got back home from our trip, I started looking at mediums in the Saskatoon area. I went to see Angela Gale.
We love Angela. Yep.
And just blah, 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 blah. Like asked as many questions as I possibly can, describing some of the experiences that I had. And she helped set me on a path for understanding. When COVID hit, it's almost like I tripped over that tripwire and went right down that rabbit hole. And I could not stop reading. And I don't even want to say how much I spent on books. And just mentoring.
Books are priceless. Books are free.
Books are priceless. Look at the knowledge you've learned. Exactly. No need to justify that here. Yeah. But as I'm like, don't look at my background. Like, oh God, no.
There was so much. And then trying to find good sources of information. One of the individuals that I ended up reading a lot from was Christopher Penzack, who studied under Laurie Cabot in Salem, Massachusetts, who was, I guess, classified as one of the original witches of Salem. And subsequently, I actually went to Salem for Halloween this past year.
That is so freaking cool. Did you have a time?
You know how they say those things where it's like what happens in Salem just kind of is in Salem, or it's almost like, am I in a movie? Is there a camera rolling here somewhere? And it's like, no, this is just Halloween in Salem. This is what happens. So surreal. I went by myself.
Cooler.
Amazing, amazing people everywhere I went. And it was like you said, those synchronicities that kind of pop up. There are people that you were meant to meet that come at that time, in that place, because there is something that you will learn and you will grow from. It would be, if I go back again, I don't know if I would do much differently, but definitely something worth an experience.
You'll have to do like a top 10 like must do list. You'll have to like create that, because I want to know. I want to do that. That would be so cool.
There's the best way about it was just going there and just sitting there on the bench and watching all the people go back and forth, and then walking up and down all of the streets. And then you just start looking and, okay, do I feel like I need to go to this place? And there were some places that I went, my first thought, no, I'm not going to go there. But then 2 days later, I was like, no, I need to go here today. And there was something in there for me on that day. But I was ready for it. Wasn't ready for it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Right. Amazing.
It sounds like a trip of a lifetime. Honestly, that's been on our bucket list. And I'm like, I'm surprised that like either of us either haven't gone separately or like together. We need to do that. It's just.
Yeah. Because we keep on our list.
Excuse me. Enough of that for right now. Not on my side.
Extend our families. So
there'll be a time.
Okay. If we go back to your house that you first felt an entity in, was that in Saskatoon or was that where you had grown up?
No, that was in Saskatoon.
Was it?
Yeah, over on the east side of town.
Where? On the east side of town. Is it my house?
It was in Lakeview.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Well, we're Lake Ridge, anyways, where we grew up for the most part. But anyways,
oh my God. You'll have to message me the details afterwards because I love a good haunted house, even if I'm just driving.
Well, if the entity is still there.
True. That's the thing. The entity may have followed her, considering that's so many more.
Yeah, just went to sleep for a while.
You never know. Well, and that's the other thing, too, that I've learned actually as just growing and developing in all of this is that sometimes spirits or entities or whatever it is, they do people hop because everything comes down to energy. And sometimes when they need more energy to feed their own growth, then they go to whatever it is that's available that they can now for themselves even that much more.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you want to be careful of, obviously, is if you are going to delve into that field, is being careful of what you call in.
Yes.
I definitely kind of go in with like my white bubble of protection. Well, it's not white, it's gold because I'm bougie.
Sorry,
and I'm just like, no, I'm like, but I want to show up as a observer.
Mm-hmm.
I just am so curious, but I'd like to see from like a bystanding.
Yeah, safely.
Participant. Yeah. I just want to like
on the other side of the glass kind of thing.
Yeah. Of like someone who's in jail, which is I'm gonna assume to be the entity in a home that is your space. I'm just gonna hang out here.
Exactly. I just want to see what you're doing in there. I think that's interesting because like with some entities as well, you're right, like you have to kind of be in the right mind space to approach it. Again, those boundaries are so important. But I mean, again, from an observant standpoint, you being at that point in your life with a toddler and a newborn. And, you know, the stress of not sleeping and, you know, you're in this anxious and, you know, it becomes a darker state because, you know, that state can be a dark time, right? Like that third trimester of sorts, right? So, I mean, that negative energy that we don't intend to have, but do have can also be what attracts some of these entities as well, right? So of no fault of yours, right? That is just, So that's, I think that's amazing that you were able to kind of start that boundary kind of, you know, without having any knowledge of what, you know, that could have stand, what it could have been anyway. So I think that's really great. And a kind of a good like word to the wise of those people that aren't sure what to do or think they need to know more when really it's fight or flight in the moment. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and that's the hard part, like even doing some of the research, reading some of the books and, you know, I was reading out some of the rituals of, cause there are some individuals out there that actually work with demons or demons. Some of them don't like being called that. They just like being called or referred to as the dark ones.
Yeah.
Sorry for everybody offended.
But it's when I was doing some of my research and practicing some of the, I guess, devotions and calling them in, I read one out. And sure enough, in a channeling session later on, I had this new spirit present themselves to me and it was very mischievous and late to play. And so I was like, oh, what is this? And it gave me its name and I was like, okay. And it didn't really identify who it was right away or where it was kind of sitting. That should have been my first clue.
Yeah.
And then, so after doing a couple of other sessions and channeling, it was asking for things. I'm like, well, spirits don't ask for things, especially if they're here for your highest and greatest good. You know, they don't ask for anything of you. That should have been my second clue. Okay. And then after I finished doing my research and I kind of sat there for a minute, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So in my next channeling session, I really asked the tougher questions and asking this spirit to identify themselves. And sure enough, it told me who it was. And I was like, no, I am not ready for this type of level of engagement. I did the evocation, the sending to release it from my space, severed my ties, cord cutting, released, gone. 6 months later, a girl and I at work, we were talking, and she was talking about the whole, I guess, if you want to get into the music industry and corruption and some of those, you know, people, those types of levels, and how they're all, I guess, worshiping, if you want to say, this one specific demon.
Right.
And she said the name a couple of times and it didn't really dawn on me or anything like that. And then she had said it again and I'm like, say that name again. And so she said the name again. And I was like, I called that one in 6 months ago. And I realized, because of the releasing and the cord cutting and severing that I had done, that's how strong some of those ceremonies can, or rituals can be, is that you forget what their names are.
Right.
So of course, when she started describing some of the things and the physical features that people sometimes take on when they're heavily immersed with those types of entities, I kind of told her, I said, you know, I said, I think you may want to consider just taking a step back from what you're researching right now, because you never know how it might potentially affect you later on. Because sometimes, even though you are researching information, you get so enthralled and you get tunnel vision to that specific point that you are almost, almost feeding that entity in itself. And you don't really realize that you're doing it. The more you look something up, the more you state something, the more you talk about it with somebody else, it raises energy. Right.
Yep.
And so she had a moment where she realized, and she's like, huh, I never thought about it that way. So she did her own things and she said, you know, after we had that conversation, she goes, somehow the next day, none of that stuff showed up in my feed again, those things that she had been researching.
Yeah. Oh, seriously?
It's like the algorithm of life. Literally. That's right? like, of course, the more you seek it out, of course it's going to be there. It's going to be the first thing your phone is listening to. And it's like, so what that's
the name of this entity. Do you feel comfortable sharing it, or would you rather just not even?
I think I'd rather not. Yeah, let's not even go there. Yeah.
as curious as I am, I don't want to feed any energy towards it.
I know. No, I think if people want to look it up, you go for it.
Wild, but we didn't give it to you. Both decided to, but it's just so wild that both your friend and you were essentially feeding energy to the same entity without even knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's how strong some of them are. And I don't think that people really realize how just minor conversations about things that occur, how they actually nourish those, that dark space, right? It's matter that hasn't been discovered, if we want to get into quantum physics, right?
Yeah.
And that's essentially what it is. It's those things that lie in the unknown, but they're there waiting for somebody to observe it, because once you observe it, it then draws it into your reality.
Right. As much as Brittany wants to observe everything, some things are better left.
I know, I'm just so fascinated by it all. That's why I'm just like,
I know, I'm like a nosy girl myself, but I was like, no, there's things that just, you know, they don't serve your better good to know.
No, it's true. As you're discussing everything and where you would have accumulated your books and your knowledge of, like, having these special ceremonies to release them, if there's one store that comes to mind that would just, like, have all of this knowledge, only because I'm not super aware of the other ones having the same. But do you ever go and talk to Jason from Hecates?
I do. I have frequented his store. I've seen some of his items and some of the things that have occurred there. Pardon?
You've seen things that have occurred there?
No, he has discussed with me some of the things that have occurred to him.
Yes. Right. Yeah. But I bet you probably go more or less to Nocturnus too, right? Not to pinpoint all your shops. I was going to say, like, Gigi was really close with those two, because that's how we got Gigi's information. Oh, hello, Gigi. Amofati 369 or 369. Amufati. Whenever I think of her name, I don't know if this is like, this is every time I see it, I'm like 369, damn good, fine. I'm like, ah, Gigi.
Gigi, if you're listening, which we hope you are.
We are. You're lovely.
There's your shout-out.
We miss you. We'll have to have you back. But yeah, I mean, I guess as somebody who's frequented those stores, and like we support basically all the local ones as much as we can, because there's not even enough of them to begin with. We're one of those, I mean, I'm one of those that believes that like each of them is so important for each kind of channel of magic that you might be needing at that time, right? So like obviously Hecate's has, you know, I would say the darker side of side of magic, but his is like where there is light, there is dark, right? So he plays with both. And then when we go to, you know, Nocturnus, it's very earthy and it's very organic in that matter. Like it's similar craft, you know, it's all handmade stuff, but just two different channels of magic anyways. But so we love you both if you're listening. I love you both, and I cannot wait to come visit both of you, or all three of you, I should say, because the siblings. So anyways.
Love it. Yeah. I love all of that. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I like trailed off a bunch.
I know.
Is there anything more about your journey that you'd like to chat about before we ask other questions?
No, I guess like basically that's about it. It's what I try and do in life is just keep myself open as much as possible to the potentials that are out there. And as much as I want to go this way, I need to understand that sometimes it might go that way or that way, and little snake turn like this.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting even exploring, well, with hypnosis, because I do hypnosis with people as well, that sometimes what you think is the root of the issue or where that emotional foundation comes from, it's not. And you go, well, I had one client go back to 1492.
Wow.
So, it's the mind is such an amazing, amazing organ that if we could actually open it up, just like that movie Lucy, where she gets up to
100. That's right. Yeah.
Imagine having that capability. Obviously, power in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
Is not good, but.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's so interesting. So yeah, so you do a few different things. You do hypnotherapy. You are also a Reiki master. And then I spoke a little bit earlier. You do intuitive work, right? So healing. And then I noticed something, you had it profiler of the soul. I need details. I need to know all of that.
What does that mean?
Just tell me whatever you want to tell me.
So in my rabbit hole that I dove into, I studied under somebody called Andrea Hess.
Okay.
And okay. She does what's called soul realignment. Yes.
Okay.
So my perspective and my take, the way I spin that whole modality, is you essentially are profiling somebody's soul. You're giving them the nuts and the bolts to understand why they do what they do. And sometimes in this life, why those patterns keep repeating. So for example, an individual that I saw, she had this fear of water, no clue where it came from. There was nothing that happened in this life where water was involved. And her fear of water was so bad that even when her daughter, her own daughter, was drowning in her dad's pool, she couldn't jump in to save her. But somehow, miraculously, she was able to, she said, I don't even know how I stretched myself that far, but I was able to stretch myself far enough to grab my daughter and pull her to safety.
Oh my gosh.
So when we went back and we went into her blueprints of her soul's profile, what we had found is that in a past life, her and a group of friends, time frame was unknown. It was about 4 or 5 lifetimes ago. And they were playing near a pool of water. One of the friends had went in the water. None of them could swim. One of them had went in to go retrieve the ball or the item that they were playing with, went too deep, started drowning. And she in that life attempted to go out and save that friend. However, she couldn't because she was not able to swim herself and therefore had to withdraw. And so, of course, everybody was in the group. There was the trauma that was imprinted around that situation. And sometimes what ends up happening is Well, the soul always remembers. And if it doesn't forgive itself prior to going on to its next life, it carries that energy with it. And so sometimes these patterns repeat themselves. And it's not because we've done anything wrong in a past life, but what has occurred has had such a huge emotional impact on the soul, on the individual, that imprint then carries forward. So it's almost as if some of these situations keep repeating in different lives until we understand that it's not your fault.
Okay.
And sometimes in past lives, we've had to make decisions because it meant safety and it meant thriving. And when we go against those two core concepts, then that's when those imprints become embedded within us. So this is what the soul profile, I like to say, it is literally profiling the soul, because it's giving you that depth of understanding about yourself. Sometimes you just really don't even, how is that even possible? And it's uncanny how accurate sometimes it is.
Yeah. It sounds like just like the similarities that I'm hearing between like this, the profiling versus like past life regressions. It sounds like the profiling is more of like an up-to-date version, if that makes any sense. It's like the reason why the soul is doing what it's doing right now is as a result of XYZ. Whereas I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, past life regression, I mean, is like figuring out what the path is, good, bad, all the things, you know, where we existed, what our souls looked like. But in your profiling, do you look for the highs and the lows? Is it just problem solving in that sense, or?
Basically, you're looking for what it is that defines who you are as a person and what decisions that you've made in that past life that went against that. But you had to go against what it was that defined who you were, because it meant you staying alive. Whereas if you're doing a past life regression, to go from this life, say, for example, in hypnosis, to do a past life regression, you're following a specific emotion in this life that's presenting itself, and it's presenting itself in an overt way that's, I guess, inhibiting you from really enjoying life to the fullest. So for example, has anxiety, can't go out into public spaces. Well, we tap into what that actually feels like, what that is, and then we follow that back to wherever it takes us. So sometimes it may actually be to your mother's womb when you were just growing, because the only thing that the baby knows is what its mother is sensing. It has no physical concept of life. It just knows emotion.
Oh, that's so interesting. And very therapeutic, very like, so now when you see clients for this kind of service, you offer the service, I would assume, what does what is your average client? What are the needs of the client typically? Like, can anybody come and get it done? Or do you do most of yours have that point of contention that they're looking to dissolve?
Yeah, anybody could come for a full profile. And sometimes if there's nothing that's really going on in your life or presenting its life, you're coming just to get a deeper understanding and knowledge of what exactly it is that makes you tick. And having that blueprint, that code, because everybody is coding it differently. It's almost not bottom talk. I forget what it's called. Gives you a way in which you understand clearly why you do the things that you do in life. So for example, some people are thrill seekers. Okay. They really enjoy that high, that rush that they get from all those physical, tangible things that occur in life, or whether it's working with numbers or money because they're great at understanding the stock market and they can see all those patterns and those algorithms. Well, there are certain individuals in which they're coded specifically just for that. Whereas there is others that are coded specifically to be more of an empath and more of an intuitive than what others are.
Yeah. There's Harrison.
Most people, if they want to learn, anybody can learn how to be an intuitive or an empath. It's just taking time and putting it to develop that skill.
Exactly, getting the right keys to access the service. That's so interesting. Like, I think that's such a one thing I love about this, like doing this podcast, is like learning about all this stuff, like, because we literally wouldn't have known that like this type of service or this sort of energetic field of work existed, right? Like, because we all have those yearning questions as to, oh, but I want to know, I want to like figure it out. And like, I don't know. And like, I would love to see like what your library looks like of all those books that you've got and be like, which one did you feel like is good? You know what I mean? Like, I just want to dig in. So, you know,
when you're making that list of top 10 things to do in Salem, you might as well send us the top 10 reading list.
Well, I was going to say, like, on your website, do you have like recommended books? Because you should. If you ever felt like being a librarian, I could totally set you up with a scanner and you could scan that shit into your computer.
No, I hadn't thought about that. I know I've been absent on social media for quite a bit now. There's been a lot more of, because I did so much, a lot of release work from my employment that I was in for the past 25 years.
Yeah.
It was an institution dealing with mental health. And you see, there's things that, you know, even movie producers don't get quite right. It's just, you can't. It's hard to describe the what the fuck just happened kind of experiences that almost go on. And they are truly inexplainable at times. And then you have a moment where you're like, okay, and you're processing. Oh, wait, I got to react now.
Exactly. You're like,
And that human factor comes into play and you're like, oh, wait, I need to respond.
Exactly. Okay, you need my help here. Okay. Well, shit. Yeah. No, that's so neat. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, like I said, I think if you share anything of your, you know, of this, how I can't even speak, because that's like, how do you put it all into one spot? It's like, there's so much to you, girl. Like, I hope you know that
I love it. There's so many amazing layers.
Like, and to do it in such a short amount of time, do you know what I mean? Like, really, your most condensed part of this really was just at the beginning of COVID, it sounds like, hey?
Pretty much. And it's almost as if, you know, that child is that sponge and they just like, just soaking everything up.
Yeah.
I can't even explain how many books I went through and just like trying to find sources to understand. And it's interesting working with Gigi there, with her and her astrology knowledge.
Yeah.
It's helped that much more. And I truly understand now why I am Sagittarius.
Exactly. It all makes sense. But you know what? It's divine timing, because anything that you had tried to learn before wouldn't have resonated and wouldn't have stuck, obviously, right? So that needed to come at that time for you to fully absorb it, take it in.
Yeah, I was not in a place that I was ready to receive any time prior to about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. It's like every time we talk to guests, like all of our guests, I'm like, I'm so jealous of your gifts. Like, this is phenomenal. I love what you've, not just what you've become, but what you've made yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is profound, just what you've got your hands in, and like the abilities and the confidence that you speak with. I know you kind of said that you're like, you have trouble with your words, and so I'm like, where? Like, girl, you're so well spoken.
Not today, like, you don't.
Not today. Okay.
It's the flow, it's the frequency that we're all creating here, right? We're on the same
wavelength. That's good. I love it. Even Harrison's involved, and it's great. He's like, yeah, girl. Well, he's watching Encanto right now. He's all about that magic.
He's watching Miss Rachel in the background, just eating his French fries.
He's happy. He's very happy. It's fun. Well,
he looks like a monkey, though. I'm just like, good Lord.
I know. Anyways. He's so cute. I love his little face. I was going to like text you. I'm like, he's so cute. I'm like, no, just pay attention.
For every episode, it's like he comes in right before we always do a card reading. If I can time it, it's like literally he knows. He's like, oh, card reading soon. I got to come and try to chew on the cards.
It's my time to shine. Exactly. Yeah. Did you, how are we feeling about a reading? I'll pop into mine. Carrie, you're welcome to do as whatever you feel.
Well, I actually was drawn. I pulled one beforehand. I wasn't sure why. And now that I'm seeing the card, I think it really makes sense. It's a new deck that I actually just got a couple of weeks ago.
Very good.
From Artist. It's called The Tool of Cups. And it's ruins. So basically, this lady, she, certain situations and places that she was in, she found certain items. And so she's always kept those and then collected those. And then she made a deck based upon those items that she found in those places. And so the one that I drew is the heart card.
Oh, beautiful. Today,
right? And so as you can see, it's 24 to plus four is six, right?
Yeah.
So six is all about maintaining that presence with everybody that you're in, supporting each other, creating that nurturing network with everybody. Six doesn't have that, I think, negative meaning that sometimes people think it does, especially if they see triple sixes. There's a missing piece to that that people, I think, just gravitate to. And when you can actually take it for its raw essence of it, is basically just knowing that you're there for everybody or others when they need to be there. And so for this one, it's very interesting. So this heart-shaped rock was a gift from her husband during a very difficult COVID-19 pandemic lockdown. He found it on their anniversary during a walk on the beach. And basically, it's just telling us that love is enduring and it can occur with or without materials of any time. So tomorrow, I guess, is love day.
Love day, Wow.
So maybe this is just that moment of reflection for the collective that you don't need a special day to celebrate your love. For anybody that's out there, you don't have to have that commemorative moment on a designated holiday.
Yeah.
It's living in the moment with your friends, with your family, with your partners, whoever they may be, or, you know, even if it's just your furry loved one that, you know, mind sleeping on the chair to be here. So having that moment in that space and just enjoying what we have inside of us, because you can spend as much time as you want identifying with all of these things that are outside of us, feeding and nurturing your soul with the material things in life. But truly the only thing that we really need and need to understand is what we actually have within. And that'll give us everything that we need to present ourselves in the way that we can move forward.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. From like the soul outward. I mean, it's that's like, I love this again, the synchronicities of everything that we talk about. There always is like, I always say the card pulls like the nice bow on top. And like for people, I know people are like, they pick the cards ahead of time. We don't. We didn't know where this conversation was going to go when we started, right? Like,
we have no idea. Literally, that's why we kind of pre-warned her. I'm like, we don't know what's going to happen. Whatever's supposed to happen, it's just going to happen, but we can't tell you what it is because we don't know yet.
Exactly. Okay, let's just see here. So for the collective. Okay. Okay, before I even pull a card, I saw like what kind of looked like some big evergreen kind of trees reflected in some water. So I don't know what that means. And then I thought I saw the letters D-I. It almost like a D-I-D. I don't know. Did? I don't know. Anyways, take it if it's yours. Take it if it's not. I don't care. Don't make it fit. But that's just what I saw. And we'll see what comes out. Okay. if you see it, you have to share it. That's like the rule is like in mediumship is you got to do it. Okay. The butterfly. Yeah. So I'm pulling my Kim Kranz, the wild animal unknown, because I love her dearly.
Let's go.
And because there's so much in this book, I do read my little excerpt. So the butterfly, undergoing great change and transformation. The energy of the butterfly is with us during periods of transition. Since air is the element of the heart, this change usually involves relationships, or if you love your job, perhaps your career. Since transition is accompanied by some kind of discomfort, be extra patient and kind during this time, especially if the butterfly is you. Let solid friends and activities support you like a cocoon, committing to one daily routine, a meal, practice, or prayer, done at the same time, place, that will do wonders for the lifting of a butterfly's spirit. So when you're in balance, you're cheerful and you're graceful. When you're out of balance, you may be fragile or frustrated. To bring into balance a daily routine. So cool.
I like it.
There you go.
And I'm pulling from a deck that I'm pretty sure, Jessica, that you got me.
It's
the Dreams of Gaia.
I don't know. Sure, maybe.
When we were in Calgary together.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember. I've got too many decks now. It's just like, but that, whatever. I just go in there and I'm like, which one am I supposed to go? And then this one was just like, hit me.
Exactly. Take it. Get it.
Yeah, so it's a tarot deck. And so the one, I don't know what it means, but I'm excited. Give me a second to look it up. But this is what it looks like.
Okay, so that is, Is that a, that's a water spirit, is it? Yeah, it's water.
Sorry,
or is it?
These cards are kind of small, so it's hard for me to. So what?
Seven?
Yeah, that almost reminds me of Pisces energy, you know?
That's literally what I was thinking. I was like, water? Maybe is there fish on the card? It kind of looked like fins almost, or like an angel fists kind of like
fins. Mm. It is the suit of water. So let me just see here.
Seven of water.
No, it's the suit of water. But
I know, but seven. I thought there was a seven on there.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right, Jessica. It is. So it is the seven of water. Mm. So the keywords here are knowing, trust, faith, surrender when it comes to control, release, peace, certainty, and passive. And some key phrases for this card are surrender to the flow of life, relinquish the need to control, all happens as it meant to, the future will bring what you need, not what you want, control is an illusion, your influence on the future is limited, yield and be flexible, and a gentle passive approach. You know, what stands out the most to me is the future is going to bring what you need, not what you want.
What you want. Exactly. Yeah. I also like realized that when you showed it the first time, I literally did not see those fish there. I was like, is that fire? And I should go back on the recording because my face is like, is that fire? What is it? Fire no. card? I was like, no, that's water.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Before we go, I always find like stuff that leads up like to the Zoom meeting or whatever. There's always something that I've picked up that like needs to be shared. And it's like, now's the moment. So I came across this story on TikTok, if anybody's familiar with TikTok. Now, there was a fisherman, you know, gentleman here, he catches out a couple fish, whatever. So while he's fishing, a gentleman, a business person comes up to him and says, hey, like, you know, you could make so much more money if you just caught a, you know, like, you know, how much, you know, fish in a day, like, what do you do? And the gentleman who's fishing, he's like, well, you know, I catch like seven or so fish. And then I, you know, go home and I spend some time with my wife. And I, you know, we go on trips or we spend some time with the kids. And, you know, I really like to sleep in. And the guy's like, well, you know, yeah, if you caught a few more fish, you know, you could turn this into an empire. You could, you know, make all this money. You could, you know, travel the world, you know, and then eventually you could sell this business in like 10, 15 years. And then, you know, and then you can retire. And the guy's like, well, then what do I do? And the businessman's like, well, whatever you want to do. And then he's like, well, I'm already doing everything I want to do, right? Like I get to spend time with my family. If I get to go on trips, it's amazing. I get to sleep in when I want to sleep, and I get to fish because I want to fish, right? It's not because the end goal is the exact same as right now. It's just looking for what we actually desire in life and what our needs are at the end of it all. Anyways, I'm sorry. That's my really chopped up, butchered story of the fishman, but fish and water.
That's a perfect story. I mean, love it.
I'm so sorry. It was so much better when this person was saying, I was like, it's beautiful. But anyways, it always happens that way. Like somebody needed to hear it. So yeah, think about that.
But you know how it always is. So people always, they forget what they have in life, right? Yeah. And they end up looking on what's on the other side of the fence, or maybe the grass is greener over here. Yeah. But then there's always somebody else that's looking in on your life.
Yeah.
And they're seeing you as the other side of the fence for them. And they're exactly. seeing you as the grass is greener. So a lot of times it's you need to look outside. Yes. It's look at what you actually have in front of you right now,
exactly.
and realize how much you do have.
Exactly. And if we're always daydreaming of like what's, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, all we're going to lose is that time that we spent longing for something else, right? When in all actuality, you know, at whatever that time chunk looks like, we should be doing exactly what we want to do, which is spending time with one another, which is investing our time in skills and passions that like drive us, and, you know, again, creating those good relationships. So anyways, yo, there you go. There you are.
So where can our followers find you? What is your website and what is your social media handle?
Yeah, so I am sometimes on Facebook. I would say I'm actually more on Instagram as Soulfully Alive. And then my website with all of my services is soulfullyalive444.com. And it has the booking calendar on there. I keep it updated, which I'll have to be modifying now, I guess, with
new venture. With your brand new job. With,
yeah.
And creating some different spaces. And that's the thing too. If you're not intentional about all this free space that you have, about what you want to bring in, watch out. It'll fill up fast.
It'll fill up, exactly.
Right? And obviously, if you're being mindful about what you're applying for, or where you're putting yourself, it'll fill your space up for what you need at that time. So it's just something that I'm learning a little bit more about. I need to be a little bit more intentional about what I'm doing, because those things are coming in. So I better be prepared.
No kidding.
That's a good lesson for everybody. And honestly, I needed that right now, because we're planning a trip back home. And I'm like, okay, I've booked out like so many days already. So I'm like, oh God. Anyways. Yeah. Intention is so important. Exactly. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. Honestly, this was like a wild ride. And thank you for letting us throw questions at you from every which angle.
No, it was great. It was fun. It was organic. It was just awesome.
Awesome. Yay. Oh gosh. Well, we'd love to have you back if you're up for it. Like I said, you've got this when I envision your brain, I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, intimidating, but like, you just have this effortless way of sharing. So very good storyteller and obviously a great teacher. And, you know, like that's, we can tell that right now. So.
Well, yeah. I even get lost in my own brain. So
there's lots of stuff in there. It's good. Right on.
Jessica, where can everybody else find us?
Well, you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Basic Banter for Witches, or you can email us at basicbanterforwitches@gmail.com. Leave good, nice words for us if you want. But yeah.
Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
And then we will see everybody next week. Don't forget to submit your questions to our Google forum. So when we do our monthly card pull, that we have some beautiful questions to
answer. You betcha. Live reading on the podcast. So get them in now. And that's in our link tree on our Instagram. So, all right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye.